Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're going to face some serious issues today. And I pray that as we face these issues by way of radio each day, as you're tuned in, it is my prayer that you are praying for this ministry outreach to be able to tell the truth. In fact, I just recently ran across, in fact, it was my bride that gave this statement to me, and she read the statement. It's from Theodore Roosevelt, known as Teddy Roosevelt. And the statement says, tell a conservative a lie and he gets angry, but tell a liberal the truth and he gets angry. I find it fascinating that when you tell the truth, folks are a little upset with it. Yet Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. And then Jesus, speaking of the word of God, says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, we are seeking to tell you the truth. And sometimes truth hurts, sometimes truth bothers, and sometimes truth penetrates to the point where there is anger and revulsion and rebellion at the truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. You can dial 401-1413 today, and it gets you directly through to the studio and to the microphone that we can discuss these issues together. So it's my desire to see you participate by joining in and calling and asking questions, having your dialogue understood and or our discussion by way of this broadcast. Listen, the broadcast is designed to, around you, our listener, to allow you to participate and let your voice be heard. So I pray that you'll participate in that. Before we get into the monologue today, let me make a little preliminary statement in relationship to the worship services on Sunday. We would be delighted to have you. We've met you by way of radio. We'd love to meet you in the pew in one of the worship services. Sunday morning at 9:30 is the Bible study hour. 10:45 is the morning worship. And then at 7 p.m. is the afternoon worship on Sunday. We'd be delighted to have you join with us. Yes, we're still the old traditional, preaching the gospel verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter, and also with the gospel music that you can hear the words, understand the words, and allow the words to the music through the work of the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts. That's our goal. That's our desire. That's our very simplistic focus on ministry, and we'd love to have you participate in worship services with you. If you're looking for a church home and you're a little weary with some of what's happening today in the services of many churches, where many times there's the feeling that we must conform to culture rather than having culture conform to the Word of God, there are a lot of churches today that are conforming to culture with the rock music and the blackened audiences and auditorium, with the ushers having used little flashlights to walk you down the aisle because it's as a rock and roll theater with the same atmosphere. I don't believe that pleases God. In my personal opinion, based on the authority of the Scripture, having studied the Scripture for so many years, I believe that God would have us to worship Him in awe and reverence to Him through His Word. So that is the invitation for you to join us. We're located on Old St. Augustine Road. That's First Conservative Baptist Church. We're about 1 mile south of I-295. Very easy to find, convenient for any place, coming any place, from any place in Jacksonville. We'd love to have you this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as I have several times, that God created government, and He did so to protect the good and to punish the evil in society. In fact, a classic text in the Scripture for government. By the way, government starts in Genesis, the 9th chapter. It is God's creation. God created government. He created the home, and then he created government, then he created the church, and in that order. But in the classic text about government in Romans, the 13th chapter, and I'll not read all of the verses, but verse 3 and 4 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." Verse 4, "For he," speaking of government, "is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil," it's the little Greek word poneros, means bad, wicked, wrong, none of having no value, "be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain." Notice the scripture says, "For he," speaking of the government, "is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So when we think about government, we need to understand the purpose and the place, performance, and the procedure and the process, as I call it, for government. Now, most of us can sit back and analyze government, find all kinds of problems with it because we have devolved from God's ideal and his biblical formation of government and what it's for and how it's to be carried out. We've devolved to the point and place where the political system today simply collapsed into the sewer. In Washington in particular, we're watching the rapid discovery that Hillary Clinton and her clan and her ilk and the Obama administration all had power and support, including the fake news media, and they seem to be Teflon. Teflon, literally, it seems that nothing is sticking. Many in society today, among Christians and conservatives, have come to the belief that we must have a dual justice system in America. Because all the criminality that we see taking place in the high echelon positions in Washington in particular seem to go unpunished. But about 2 years ago, the nation has been focused on, for the last 2 years, some say year and a half, but I'm just rounding it out 2 years. For about the last 2 years, the nation's been focused on simply seeing corruption in the DOJ, the FBI, the DNI, the CIA, the Obama administration, the DNC, and may I simply say only God knows who else. Does that make it different in the eyes of the public? Does it make any difference at all? It makes no difference at all. It seems that, for the most part, the average citizen is not fully aware or informed at all of the serious decay, the destruction that's being imposed against our republic. Yes, it's a republic. It's not a democracy. But may I remind us, it seems to be that the Obama and the Clinton cabal set up a phony charge, a plan to destroy the Trump campaign and thus this Trump administration. But wait a minute. It's not just in the Beltway in Washington. It's not just in the Tallahassee circles of elite politicians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it happen on a local stage. You'll recall just a few months ago that Representative Corrine Brown was tried and convicted and sentenced for fraud, serving time now in a federal prison. But wait a minute. She's not alone. She's not alone. Others were sentenced with her for knowing and participating in her crime. In fact, I still believe that we had crony politicians in our city that were not caught in her corrupt political activities. I believe we have a caller on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I think it's interesting you're picking up this topic today, especially with the local news in Jacksonville on the city council members and their issues and the indictment. It's interesting. This seems to be kind of prolific. We're seeing problems like this across the United States and the halls of Congress. Over the course of years, the Office of Compliance paid out, I believe, $17 million, and a lot of them were sexual harassment allegations. It's sad to me that when a politician messes up, many times we, the taxpayer, we have to pay for their mess up. It's bad enough that when it's public policy and they mess up, we have to pay the price. Why in the world, when it's personal personal violations, why do we still have to pay the price for that? Why in the world are these politicians not held to account out of their own wallet, out of their own pocket, for their misdeeds. Some of these allegations were potentially criminal allegations. You know, it rose to that level. You just mentioned Corrine Brown. Yeah, she's now dealing with prison time. I guess she's already gone off to prison. Regardless, you go back, within that first year or two, I think they discovered she was operating a travel agency out of her office using public resources. I believe that was the original allegation. And then her daughter took a Lexus as a gift from somebody that Corrine Brown was trying to help there in D.C.
Called quid pro quo.
Right. I suppose it's sad to me. It brings disrepute on the office that these folks serve in. And then, of course, the taxpayer bears the burden of paying for the misdeeds of these individuals. And to me, that we have to bring a stop to it, a halt to it. And the only way to do that is to put the monkey back on their back, put the responsibility back on their back, make them carry the load when they commit acts that either are indecent or immoral or illegal. And I'm not sure exactly how that plays out. Corrine Brown is one of very, very few people that have had to pay the price for their misdeeds. I mean, Blagojevich is one of one governor after another. It seems like that we've incarcerated out of this great state of Illinois. Blago may get to go home. I don't know if Trump did that yesterday or not, but they were talking like he was going to commute the sentence of Blagojevich and let him go home. And I do feel for the guy. You know, he's got family and all. However, politicians ought to be held to a standard. If anything, they should be held to a higher standard, not a lower standard than we the people.
Well, Greg, you say that, and I find it fascinating because I'm holding in my hand here the headlines in bold, gigantic print, 38 counts. Indictment of two city council members alleged mail fraud and wire fraud. And then when it lists the indictment charges, conspiracy to commit mail fraud, wire fraud, aiding and abetting mail and wire fraud, 26 counts, illegal monetary transactions, 6 counts, attempting bank fraud, 2 counts, false statements to federally insured institutions, 2 counts, failure to file form 1040, returns, and it goes on and on and on with the charges. And I find it egregious when we find in our city council, we got 19 member city council members, 19 members on the city council. And I find it egregious that we find the overwhelming majority of them in the past couple of election cycles, their election campaigns have been bought and paid for by the sodomite community, that is the LGBTQI and whatever other acronyms they've added to that today. They bought and paid for them. And I find it a little bit ironic that these two council members, in fact, here's an article from the online news, two city council members indicted. It's a 60-page, 38-count indictment filed May 23rd, stems from the use of $2.65 million in U.S. Small Business Administration loan that helped a company co-owned by Katrina Brown finance a barbecue sauce manufacturing operation on Commonwealth Avenue in Jacksonville. Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown, neither of them related, and at least $754,613, which represents the proceeds of the offenses. They set up phony false companies to bill the so-called barbecue sauce business, and it was for services that were never carried out with companies that didn't even exist other than on paper, and both of them profited greatly from it. In fact, one of the articles says tens of thousands of dollars that they collected. And yet here's the ironic part, Greg, as I think about it, they're both sitting on the Budget Finance Committee for the city, utilizing their power and their position behind the scenes to rob, cheat, and steal. Now, I don't know the factuality of it. I'm just reading what the paper says. The newspaper could be wrong. They could be falsely indicted. I don't know, but I'm concerned about it because the thing that I see, and maybe our listening audience needs to understand this, the thing that is so egregious for me is that these two are two out of a number of city council members that voted for the onerous human rights ordinance that was passed just a few months back. the human rights ordinance, and I believe God is saying, no, you can't spit in my face. No, you can't legalize sodomy and say that it's all right. You can't give special exceptions to the sodomite community and thumb your nose in the face of the moral, ethical Christian community in Jacksonville. And I believe that's exactly what they've done. And I am finding it very, very sad to see. And I'm not trying to jump on the bandwagon of stepping on someone when they're down. That's not the position. But I think, as you said, government needs to be held accountable. And that's what our president's been doing, saying he's going to drain the swamp. And now he's saying he's draining the sewer. And I think you see the sewer rats jumping up all over the city of Washington in the Beltway and saying, we're not going to be controlled. But I'm embarrassed for our city council. I'm embarrassed for our city in seeing this. I believe that God is saying is enough, enough. God is saying, you cannot thumb your nose in my face and get by with it.
It's interesting from the perspective of how these folks, some of them pay the price and others do not. In the case of Andrew McCabe that was there in the FBI, the date of his firing was strategic, perhaps tactical, but it perhaps also opened the door for some similitude of justice. By firing him prior to his date of retirement, then it left in jeopardy or in question some of his retirement benefits. You know, many folks, they will not curtail their activities until it hits them in the wallet, like with these sexual allegations against so many congressmen. They will continue, many of them will continue their horrific activities because they did not pay a price. Andrew McCabe may actually pay a price. I think there are very many of these folks that were heading up the FBI, heading up the Justice Department, that should be incarcerated. They should be looking at substantial terms in the federal penitentiary. But they should also, many of them, should lose the pensions. You know, they go, well, we worked for them. Well, what did you do? Many of these folks, I believe, committed criminal acts. When you commit a criminal act under color of authority or while you're in a position of authority, and many times use your office to commit the acts, you need to pay a severe price. Now, McCabe may pay that price. These folks on the city council, I don't know, if they're found guilty, will they pay a price? Right now, Jacksonville, Florida is a unique town in that they pay their city council members for a part-time job. Pay them, you know, I think start at $38,000, $38,500, some of them, I think, in positions of more responsibility are paid $45,000 or $47,000, something like that, for a part-time job, and then they're given benefits, and then they're allowed access to the pension once they've served for 6 years. So if these folks have served at least 6 years, they may go to jail, possibly, but they may also have their pension follow them. I understand that Corrine Brown, I could be wrong, I understand that though she's going to the federal penitentiary, that her $150,000 or whatever pension check will continue to come to her.
Well, yes, absolutely. She's in federal prison, and she's collecting her pension, and it's more than the average person makes in 2, 3, 4 years. It's egregious. But, yeah. Greg, one of the things that is so frightening to me, in our city in particular, is that it's not just these two city councilmen that's been caught with a hand in the till. That's not it at all. It is far broader than that. In fact, a dear, deep-pocketed mega-millionaire in our city, Peter Rummel. Peter Rummel is a major contributor to our mayor. And the mayor is showing preference, I believe, to many things that Peter Rummel is involved in doing. In fact, here's an article from the Florida Family Action Committee, the Florida Family Action Group, led by John Stemberger, headed up out of Orlando, says today, we need your help. Jacksonville City Council members are planning to funnel cash to a liberal multimillionaire who could then use the money to subvert the Bill of Rights. Here's what you need to know and why you should be reaching out to the city council members and to the mayor. And he goes on to talk about the fact that here's Peter Rummel. And Peter Rummel he states, this is from the Florida Policy Council, Peter Rummel is a liberal, multimillionaire land developer who's mounting an all-out assault on the Second Amendment. He's a big-time donor to the Republicans and Democrats who uses his immense wealth to threaten and intimidate candidates and elect officials. And he's asking the city for some $80 million toward a project that he's involved in developing. And he's one of the major bundlers and one of the major financiers for our mayor, for Mayor Lenny Curry. Could it be back just a few weeks ago when Curry was thinking about selling the JEA, could he have some influence from that? And today, I find it egregious when I discover that the city has canceled the letter of intent to the Slayman Company. They intend to cancel the lease on the landing, downtown landing. And the city owns the land. The buildings are not theirs. They're going to cancel the lease. Could it be that Peter Rummel also would like to have the landing, and that Lenny Curry, our mayor, is in bed with him and somehow is trying to do that behind closed doors to simply close out the Slayman group in order to put Peter Rummel in it? I don't know. We're watching these things take place all over our city with our politicians that seem to have the philosophy and attitude that the citizens have no say-so.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring up that aspect, because here they are going after that landing, and you know, who knows best how to operate and how to manage commercial properties? Is it Slayman Enterprises or the city of Jacksonville? I tell you what, Slayman Enterprises operates plazas all over. And if anybody knows how to operate one, Tony Slayman and his company knows how to operate one. The city thinks they can take that over and do a better job than him? That's crazy. But you know, you touch on the aspect of potentially some misdeeds going on there, and that may be the case. I remember hearing from a businessman out of a little town called Augusta, Georgia, and you had the political players in that town that thought that they would manipulate and play and twist arms and extort and bribe and all this sort of stuff. And it didn't work out so well. He had a chunk of the members of the local council that went to jail.
Well, they went to federal prison for some 15 years. Five of them did, because in that particular community, in that particular county, if a businessman, real estate broker or otherwise, had anything to do with the city, if they were involved in anything that had to go before the city, they expected a payola. They expected a payoff. They expected to be paid for their vote. And I contend that that's happening across the nation, and it is coming out now more and more in these days where there is a press to drain the swamp and clean the sewer. But the city, I think, is egregious when we allow these things. We've got Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, that holds this key to the city vault. Whatever he wants, he gets. And it's simply because he's paid so much into the city council members and the mayor's coffers for elections and re-elections that anything they want, they get. And I find it egregious when we have city properties and city entities like the JEA, and we have city properties as the landing, where there's the ploy to simply allow you good old boys, the good boys, the buddies behind closed doors to be able to get a benefit from it. Here's an article, Greg, that says prominent GOP donor Peter Rummel, confident that the mayor will see the light on the assault weapons ban. He is paying for the process of the election for city council members and for the mayor. Basically, he's saying, Mr. Mayor, I've supported you. I paid paid in the funds to get you elected. I want you to be my little puppet and ban weapons, arms, ban the Second Amendment for the city of Jacksonville. I believe it's a veiled threat. Here's a statement that Rummel made. Rummel echoed again that with regard to the Jacksonville's mayor, saying candidates have to be brave and take a stand. I'm a strong supporter of Mayor Curry, and I'm sure that he will see the light, end quote. That's a veiled threat. That's saying, Mr. Mayor, if you're not willing to stand and ban weapons in Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida, then I'm simply not going to support you anymore. And you look at the record, he was one of the major, major contributors for not only the mayor, but for the city, many of the city council members. And by the way, when it comes to one of these city council members that's just been indicted with a 38 indictment count, Reggie Brown, one of them. Reggie Brown's vote on the HRO was as a result of major funds going into his election re-election campaign coffers by the sodomite group, the LGBTQI. And they promised him that if you'll vote this way, then we will see that you get elected in Tallahassee. He had just announced that he's running for a House of Representatives seat in Tallahassee. I believe it's God closing the door because the illegal, underhanded, immoral votes that we find taking place on our city council. And there's a major battle now between Anna Broche and the mayor simply because of some of these things that she said no on, and the mayor saying yes. In fact, here's an article that says there's a feud between City Council President Anna Broche and Mayor Lenny Curry, and its escalation is in political tension over the project. And it's talking about a project that Peter Rummel is involved in. This article says Rummel is one of Curry's most important political supporters and has donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Lenny Curry. So what do you conclude when all you see is the money trail, the money trail, the money trail that causes our politicians to vote as they do? And then ultimately, when they're caught with the hands in the till, all of a sudden I'm innocent. I've not done anything wrong. And that's what Corrine Brown said for years until she was finally sentenced. And then the key turned in the clinker, as it's called, and now serving in federal prison because of it. I find it egregious. In fact, Greg, there's an verse in Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It is egregious. And then it says in the 21st verse, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that's what we're faced with in society today. Greg, we've got a couple of minutes left. Tell us some, what do you think in relationship to what we see taking place? What should Christians do? How should we respond? Should we sit back and ignore it? Should we take a stand and speak of it? Should we seek God's wisdom to put good men in office that are moral-charactered men that will stand for truth and honor God?
Well, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And I believe some of these politicians are discovering what that means. The reality is, in the end, not a single person will be able to hide a single thing from God Almighty. However, for the believer and the patriot, hold these folks' feet to the fire. I think Ronald Reagan said, if they won't see the light, make them feel the heat. Every public office holder swears an oath to the same document. They start out with their pledge. It says, I do swear or affirm that I will support, protect, and defend what? The Constitution of the United States. Now, to me, that oath must mean something. If you're gonna take a position of public service, you know, it's not only that politician, but we the people. Have to be sure that oath means something. These folks that are steadily violating the law, violating our Constitution, right now you're talking about individuals that would go potentially on full bore assault against the Second Amendment. Well, they can't do that if we the people hold them accountable to fulfill their oath.
Yes. In fact, speaking of these two city councilmen, Reggie Brown claims to be saved. I don't know about Katrina, but I've had a lot of occasions down through the past several years to talk with Reggie. And before the vote on the HRO, Reggie made an absolute commitment. And his commitment, and I quote, he says, I'm a Christian, and I know that a yes vote would be against God. Yet he voted yes because of the money from the sodomite community. And so I believe that God is saying, you're not going to spit in my face, son, and get by with it. Now, listen, I'm not rejoicing over that which has taken place with these two. It's our responsibility as Christians to recognize it, to call it out, and to pray. And I'm praying for them. I'm praying that God will give them wisdom and that God will allow this to teach them something that will cause them to honor him. Greg, thank you so much for your dialogue and discussion today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to this broadcast. Looking forward to our next broadcast when, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.